Well, hello.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the show. I don't know what that is. I just felt it. So I dealt it.
He who felt it, dealt it.
Yeah, that's right.
Cool. Well, hey, guess what?
What?
I'm going to start working on numbered episodes now.
Yeah.
So if the math checks out, and, you know, even if it doesn't, I'm going to put a line in the sand now and say this is episode 18.
We're going
to
do it.
Legend of Zelda Link to the Past with Travis Tate.
That's right. Hey, everybody, I'm Travis Tate.
That's actually late to the party with Travis Tate, but please, you downloaded it. You knew that already.
Thanks for listening. We appreciate it.
Yeah. What is up, Duder?
Not too much. Just living the dream.
Yeah? You had a nice week so far.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a week.
You're a little late getting out of here today.
Yeah, it was a busy day at work today. I still have a day job, unfortunately.
Yeah.
The podcast money isn't quite rolling in yet.
Yeah, it's going to be fun when that's
the millions of potential listeners that we have, it'll start kicking in soon.
I think if anything, if that dream ever manifests as, you know, out of reach as it is, I think the funnest part of that would be able to tell someone in a professional capacity, like, hey, what, you're leaving this job? What, like, yeah, I've got a podcast.
As soon as the Country Classic Confederation wants to pay our, you know, insurance and 401ks and all that.
It's hard to get them to kick in.
Yeah, they don't have dental. We know that.
Travis.
Jake.
My mother has instructed you to leave poor Toby Keith alone. Would you like to incur the wrath of my mother? She can be summoned at a moment's notice.
Toby Keith's a big boy. He can take it.
Yeah.
Well, he shouldn't have started a beef with me if he didn't want to incur the wrath.
Yeah. Be careful. His army is legion.
I'm not afraid of Toby Keith.
Well, you should be afraid.
You hear
of
me,
mom.
Toby Keith? Are you listening? I know I've got listeners in Tennessee. And I know it's because we're making fun of Toby Keith.
I understand that you don't fear that man, but my mother, you really should maybe kick a little fear down that road.
I can see a breakdown of where we've got listeners, and we've got quite a few in Tennessee. So
yeah.
I'm hoping it gets back to Toby Keith, and this beef goes to phase two.
The Keefest of beefs. So have you been up to anything, Travis?
No, man. After my headline show, I decided to take a weekend off of stand-up and not try to remember jokes for a whole weekend, which was nice. And so not really doing anything, just doing stuff around the house and lounging around and watching a lot of like old Food Network shows.
Having a chilling food binge weekend, huh? Did you watch anything that was particularly of note?
No, not really. Watching old Diners, Drive-ins and Dives.
is that the Guy Fieri one?
Yeah. You just put it on, and it's just kind of there in the background. Ooh, I do like this show. Actually, it's on Netflix. It's called Lords and Ladles. And they just added new episodes.
I think I ran... I did not watch it, but I ran across it recently.
It's from probably 4 years ago or something like that, but it's new here. It's new to Netflix.
That sounds like the highfalutin variety.
What they do is they go to like a big old castle in Ireland. And they go through their records and they find records of a feast that they had like hundreds of years ago. Sometimes it's only 100 years ago, but sometimes it's a couple hundred years ago. And they try to recreate the feast. They have like expert chefs, and one of them is in charge of like kind of entertaining and explaining what's happening at the dinner.
Just a lot of mutton.
With the inbred hoity-toity people. They're all weird. And then there's one that of the chefs will be like the gatherer, and they go out and gather everything. They'll go to the butcher shops. If there's fish, they'll go to the pond and fish the fish out.
And so then, this is very hands-on.
Yeah, it's really good. I love watching it. There's a lot of like whole roasted pigs, and they're serving the entire face of the pig. There's like all this weird...
You know, I've
there
seen...
was a boiled goose, and they're like, this seems like... a crime against all of culinary science that we've ever learned to boil a goose, but this is what we're doing. It's what the recipe says.
So did they do the pig face, right?
Oh yeah.
What was the feedback on pig face? Because that's a like kind of grody movie classic of the pig head.
No, it was general cheers and like lords I don't know what their titles are anymore, but all these fancy castle owning people going, oh, look at the pig's face. Yeah, it's so rich and
dead. They were the product of incestuous unions. So
yeah, I mean, they're
just because they like that pig face don't mean they got anything on the ball, right?
Yeah.
Were like, you had culinary experts tasting that pig face, right?
Oh, yeah.
They come back saying, mighty good pig face? Or
yeah, I mean, there's really not a lot of complaints on it. Yeah, the chefs taste it, and they're like, yeah, it's actually pretty good. And they might tweak it just a little bit.
What about the boiled goose?
The boiled goose? I didn't finish that one, actually.
Okay, so
I had to go to bed.
You guys are going to have to tune in another episode to find out how
it was stuffed with something. I can't remember what it was stuffed with.
Rocks.
It might as well have been boiling a goose.
Well, my watching has been sporadic. A lot of it has just been keeping up on stuff that I was already watching. But we had a family stand-up weekend. And so Gabe has been really turned on to your boy, Bert Kreischer.
Oh, yeah?
So we watched his special, Secret Time, which was really funny. But I guess the times that I've heard Bert on podcasts, didn't really get the impression that he was going to kind of go dirtier than what I was expecting. Like, I don't get too uptight about a dirty comedian, but, you know, watching with a teenager, there's some pretty blue stuff on there.
There was a couple jokes that I actually didn't hear. The last time he was here, I didn't open for him. The two times before that, I did open for him, but I was opening for Dan Cummins that weekend. Mm-hmm. And we went and hung out afterward.
Yeah, I was actually pretty stoked that, I'd gone downstairs like on a Saturday, and Gabe's like, hey, let's watch some stand-up. I found this really cool new guy. I'm like, oh, who is he? He's like, Bert. Oh, he's like, Bert Kreischer? Like, yeah. Oh, Travis gets along really well with Bert. That's cool. Let's watch Bert Kreischer. And then, it's really fun special, really, really funny special.
I hadn't heard the bit about shooting a spit wad at his dad.
That was the one.
That one made me cry laugh. Yeah.
Gabe was doubled over wheezing.
It was so good. And then also the one he closed with about the basketball camp. I'd heard him tell the story, but I hadn't heard it like a hashed out bit.
Yeah.
And man, that made me cry laugh special, a little too.
So, you know. Anybody out there who likes stand-up, Bert Kreischer's Secret Time is good. Also, on Cindy's side, she chose to watch an Ali Wong special. You ever seen any Ali Wong
stuff? I've seen the first one, Baby Cobra. I haven't seen the newest one, though.
I forget what the name was.
I actually don't watch a lot of specials.
Is that a sort of a professional courtesy thing? I know some stand-ups, I think, say that they don't watch a whole lot of stand-up themselves because it... Even if you're not like sitting there stealing jokes, a lot of times a joke can stick in your head and you write something similar without really thinking a ton about it.
Even just the way they deliver can kind of get stuck in your head.
Yeah, because Allie was really funny, but she is also seems to be playing a little bit of a character.
I don't know. I've never met her. I mean, she's pretty big time now.
Yeah, I guess so.
As far as I know, she hasn't been here.
I don't know.
But she's funny.
That was the first time that I had run across her, and big thanks out to the wife for doing that, because hers was also an enjoyable special.
There are good specials out there. I like Tom Segura's special a lot.
Yeah.
He's got a few of them on there. Anything Bill Burr's done is
I was thumbing amazing. Through, because our recording nights is kind of a wife and son, mom and son, stand-up watching fest while we're doing our records. And I was looking for stuff, but looking at it. It's hard to get it to just sort stand-up.
Right. No, it is. It's impossible.
Also, and I guess that's... Have we talked about that? I guess Netflix is doing advertising in test markets? Did we talk about that?
I think we might have mentioned it.
So, I did look into it, and this is a true thing. In test markets, they're putting ads for their own shows in front of the programming, which is like... Every time I get on Netflix, it is a gigantic ad for every Netflix show.
No,
all
for
the
sure.
suggestions are their popular Netflix shows. There are like four or five categories as you're going through that are just like, what's up, Netflix? This is what we got that was made by Netflix. I'm like, look, man, I can't swing a dead cat and not hit one of your, hey, have you checked out Glow yet? Check out Glow. It's part of our best comedies, part of our best dramas. part of our best sports shows, part of our best faux documentaries. It's like,
I can't believe they're already heading to season 3 of GLOW. I've watched like 2 episodes of it. I mean, it's
seems perfectly good.
It's good.
That's just one of the
examples. Like Alison Brie and Lala and Marc Maron.
I think they're pushing a lot of. I think I've told you already, like the seasons of Voltron, how fast those come out astounds me.
Yeah, I just noticed that there's new seasons of
that's been on for what, maybe 2 years now? And
I think so.
It's 7th season.
Is it 7?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
The last couple of them I think have been short seasons, but they've come out, I think in the past year they've had at least 3 seasons come out.
Why not?
So it's Fast and Furious, but then on top of that, like, hey guys, you're becoming you guys are becoming the thing that I left to come to you. So I'd appreciate if we could tone that down a little bit.
So you watched 3 specials?
Watched 2 specials.
Oh, you were talking. Oh, yeah, you're talking
about Ally Wong. That counts as a festival right. For me. For what kind of time I
had. Christina P is really good too.
Yeah.
I like Eliza.
My wife. Cindy,
I know there's a lot of people.
Cindy loves Eliza Schlesinger. Yeah.
No, she's great.
Adores her.
Yeah, she gets a lot of crap, but I think she's great.
You know,
she's a really good writer.
I tend
her jokes are well written. I appreciate that.
Yeah. I like to find a little bit smaller stuff when I can, a little bit more esoteric stuff when I can, but
I know, you know, whatever. Here's the thing about Bert Kreischer is people watch it and they feel like he's just up there talking. I mean, those are well-written jokes that he's worked on a lot. He's just really good at making you think he's making it up right on the spot. But yeah, every single one of those words is carefully crafted and put in the right place. He's just amazing at being in the moment, so it seems like it's coming off the top of his head.
I guess I can't speak for other people, but I know that I was probably way older than I should have been before I got over the hump of thinking that stand-up comics just went up and talked.
Yeah,
they had nothing prepared. They just went up like, hey, I'm just thinking about the, you know, I'm just thinking about coffee shops, and I've all of a sudden I've crafted this, you know. So
I think I figured it out when I was watching. I would watch a few comedy shows. They were like late night on the weekends when I was, I don't know, 12, 13, 14, somewhere in there. And I remember seeing Richard Jenny on a couple different ones, and he did the same set. And I was like, wait a second.
it was back then. You'd hear him do a similar, the same joke. You'd be like, hey, and that's supposed to be new every night. Come on, man.
Yeah, he's pretty well regarded as an amazing writer as well. Yeah. I've never heard anybody talk bad about his stand-up.
We got a tour on stuff, I guess. So, you know, I watched that. I've been watching more Space Dandy. I have settled into being okay with that show being kind of just an anthology program. It was hard divorcing myself from like, hey, the continuity of this doesn't make sense. Like, it's just fun time, fun anime times.
Right.
So
that's good.
I'm quite enjoying that. I did. So we didn't talk about this on the show, but after one of last week's shows, you hit me up because you needed to give me something to watch. And I did watch one of the Trip movies. I watched The Trip Spain. And I could only wonder in the aftermath of it. Did you make me watch those shows as punishment for shitty British?
No, I love when they start getting into the impressions.
You mean the entire movie?
Yeah. It's so fun to me to watch. Because those guys are really good at impressions.
They are.
Is that the one where they keep going into Roger Moore?
That was the one. So that was a very specific moment in that movie because after like one or two of their little dining sessions. So these movies are about...
it's Steve Coogan
and
I can't remember the other guy's name.
Rob Dearden? Is that the guy's name?
Yeah, that's right.
Is that really his name?
Yeah.
I'm not thinking of Rob Dyrdek, am I? But Rob Dearden, just the most British of Britmen, traveling the beautiful country, having lavish meals, and just trying to outdo one another. So you kind of have to be in for that of like, okay, the movie, there's like a really loose plot about Steve writing a movie and kind of going through. It's also largely a movie about 250-year-old children.
Yeah, they're kind of going through some stuff. That's actually the least enjoyable part of the movies to me is the backstory that they've got. Like,
yeah, I didn't mind. It's
okay.
I guess it's. I don't know how much I would have been all in if the whole movie had just been these guys having dinner and trying to pretend like they're naturally.
I think I could watch that every day. Yeah.
No, I didn't hate it. I enjoyed it. But there were moments like that Roger Moore one, because these are, I guess, I don't know, you know, because that was the moment when there was two women with them. And one of them was, mm-hmm. I think, someone that Steve works with, and then a friend of hers, I think.
Yeah, I think one was like an assistant or a producer type of thing.
And there was a moment in that where Rob won't stop doing the Roger Moore stuff. Steve's trying to tell a story, and Rob's... keeps doing the Roger Moore, and I see these two women,
the Moores.
These two women having to sit there like, these are our roles. We have to sit here. We've probably done 5 or 6 takes of this. We wrote this whole skit. Our part in this skit is to sit here and act like we are having the time of our lives, watching these guys trying to outdo each other, like we're not even here.
Is that the one that has the dueling Michael Caines too? Maybe that's a different one.
Like. There's dueling Mick Jaggers, there's dueling Roger Moores, there might have been dueling Michael Caines.
That might be a different one.
Dueling Ian McKellen's at one point. That aside, it is entertaining, but sometimes a little bit third wall breaking of like, there are parts where they're being very animated and very loud in these restaurants,
right. And
no one around them is reacting to it at all. And it's kind of like, it just gets like you guys are really like, I don't know. It takes me out of a little bit to go like a waiter's not coming up and saying, "Gentlemen, could you please settle down? The customers are wondering if you're all place. Right. One of you just pretended to be shot.
We don't want to hear it any Roger Moore."
Yeah, like, come over, like, ma'am, would you two like to sit at another table? This Moore bit has been going on for a bit too long. So. It's odd seeing in that. I think there's truth to them. They really have a great time
right. Joking
around. They have a great time trying to one up one another, which is true. There are parts of it where they like Steve Coogan gets annoyed at a couple of points during it, and
yeah,
you know, like that Roger Moore part. Like, is that written? Is there truth to it?
I think it's all written out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It's weird because it comes off as very. Improvisational because they're critiquing each other on their
right,
you know, especially I think the one they do the most is they do Mick Jagger a couple times, and there's a constant critique on whether or not they're doing the clap correctly or things like that. And
has Gabe watched John Mulaney speaking of Mick Jagger?
Yeah, he loved okay, John, so Mulaney.
He's seen the new kid, what is it, Kid Gorgeous or something like that?
I'm pretty sure. I don't know. Okay. If
there's a Mick Jagger bit in there. That's what made me think of it. Yeah.
John Mulaney was one of the early ones that really, okay. really upped the ante on him liking stand up. But for its quality, is definitely all of the scenery is gorgeous.
Oh yeah, gorgeous. Makes me want to go there for sure.
I think some of the dream stuff with Steve is pretty neat. You know, the food stuff is kind of there is a weird sort of calming effect to just watching. Food being prepared in exotic places for some reason. And, you know, so, you know, if I had to say anything bad about it, it's just like some of them trying to one-up each other wears a little thin, but even that's not that bad.
Yeah, it's just a fun thing to watch.
So between the two, is there a continuity between, is there only two of them? I only saw Italy and Spain. I think there's like
three of them.
I saw
there's Italy one. There's one where they go to Italy. There's the original one. I don't know where they go. Okay, to the original one.
I didn't even bring in on the original. I got in on one of the sequels.
Yeah, I don't know if I've seen the original one.
Huh.
But there's another one where they go to Italy that at least was on Netflix at some point.
No, it's still on. Still on there. I had the opportunity to watch that one, but I watched Spain, and then when I was done with that one, I'm like,
I think Italy's got the Michael Caine.
I can bit. Only assume that the Italy one is. Kind of the same premise, but in
basically,
Italy.
Yeah.
So, I'm gonna take a short break.
Steve has an affair on that one.
Oh,
yeah.
So, but he's not married in the one that I'm.
Maybe that's why he's not married. I don't think.
I don't know. No, he does. He gets a call from his son at the end, and his son got his girlfriend pregnant, and
oh, it's Rob that has the affair, not Steve.
Oh, ooh, I don't want that to be the case.
Yeah, it was off-putting to me too. I guess, Rob?
I guess I shouldn't care because it's not like it's real, but yeah. Nonetheless,
you're kind of schlubby.
I guess we'll see. You know, I don't know.
Last night I watched Tag, the movie. How Tag?
Tag? I want Tag to be really good.
I actually liked it a lot. We watched Game Night a few weeks ago, and I didn't like Game Night.
Generally at all. Speaking, I want any John Hamm property to be really
good. He was really good in it. Tag is great. Yeah.
Did you see
Jeremy Renner? Did you
see Baby Driver?
No, I haven't seen it yet.
I like Baby Driver.
Yeah, I really want to see that.
John Hamm is special. Like, pretty much everybody's good in it. There's some Kevin Spacey, you know. What are you going to do?
At that point, is there a young man in the movie? Yeah, Kevin Spacey will do it.
At that point, I didn't know. You have to assume everybody in the movie knew. I just didn't at that point.
Apparently, it's one of those things in Hollywood that everybody knew at the time.
It's
because as soon as it came out, people are like, "Oh yeah, I've known that for a long time."
Well, I'd heard
really. That. Then why didn't you call the police?
I'd heard that about. I guess I don't know if Kevin Spacey held that much power, but I do know when things really went down with Bill Cosby, I heard at least a couple of comedians saying like, "Yeah, this is something that the stand-up community had known about for a long time, but pretty much everyone knew." If I come forward with this, I am going to completely ruin my career and it's not going to go anywhere.
I think people probably heard rumors.
Yeah.
But coming out with rumors is potentially harmful if it ends up not being true.
I don't know.
That's a tough situation. If you've heard rumors and you don't actually have any proof, that's kind of tough. Because what if it's not true? You know what I mean? Now, if you're a victim, that's completely different than something that somebody heard third or fourth or fifth hand just through the grapevine.
I don't live in that world, so I don't know. I think I've gotten myself in a headspace of it's probably a good idea to at least investigate under any circumstances and not just dismiss things out of hand, because the worst that I would like for it to be, I don't know, it's a very complicated issue, but I would like for it to be the worst case is it's investigated and you find out the allegations weren't true.
Right.
But if you hear a rumor and the accused says this didn't happen, and then it's everybody turns and starts attacking the victim, you might still end up in the situation that the quote unquote victim deserved to be ostracized for trying to accuse someone.
Mm-hmm.
But you also might find out decades later that not only were these allegations true, but not investigating them in that instance allowed them to go on for decades of harming people.
Yeah. Well, there were rumors about like Louis C.K.
That's also one that I've heard, that Louis C.K. there'd been a lot of dirt on the street about him.
The rumors were actually worse than what actually happened. Not saying what actually happened wasn't bad, but the rumors were worse. So I don't know. He just did sets for the first time a couple nights ago. Yeah, he was at the Comedy Cellar. I can't remember where else he went. Governor's, I think, in Long Island. But the Comedy Cellar is like the best club in the country. Comedy Cellar and Comedy Store in L.A. Comedy Cellar's in New York. Two top clubs in the country. So that's where he just kind of dropped in. Apparently he did a joke where he mentioned a rape whistle.
It's classy.
I mean, eventually, he never went to jail for it. He's going to come back. It's just going to happen. He's a comedian. He's going to come back.
He's had monumental success. So in the wake of this kind of stuff coming out, I think it's kind of fair for him to just forfeit the rest of his career. Like take some writing jobs.
I mean, yeah.
But not, you know, like don't go like, hey, what is it? Like a year later, even the triumphant return of the guy who we finally got the truth about.
Well, when you do come back, don't be tone deaf. And make a joke about rape.
The thing is, I think a lot of that humor was his kind of his bread and butter.
Right. In a way, he always talked about how he was a dirtbag, but people called him a genius.
A lot of people do that, but it's kind of implied that like they're playing a character.
I don't think he was playing a character. I don't think he was putting off. Even in his show, was super artful. At least that's what it was supposed to be. And he played a dirtbag in the show that would do deprived things. So he was actually kind of honest about what kind of person. It's not like he was, you know, Disney Channel during the day
No.
doing underhanded things. That's a joke because it was what he was doing. Maybe it was underhand. Maybe it was overhand. I don't know. But at the night, it's just interesting. I don't know that there's a... It's one of those things I'm torn on. There's no right or wrong as far as when should he come back. I don't know. He didn't go to jail, so eventually he's going to come back. It was, what, 8 months? 9 months? Probably should have waited a little bit more, but he didn't, so... Now it's a thing.
It calls into question, like, what is, I mean, entertainment, I guess, is a maybe unique profession. I mean, if in my own profession, allegations came along and said, hey, Jake was jerking off in front of people at work, I would never get to go back to work, ever.
Yeah.
And I would probably have a great deal of trouble finding employment elsewhere.
But that's a deal where you actually have an employer, and this is more a contractor type situation. So it's not like anybody can fire him from show business. And it's stand-up. Movies is even different. Movies is different. Stand-up, you can still go to open mic.
I'd be interested to know what kind of crowd was showing up. Because, I mean, I guess you heard the stuff about...
Well, he wasn't advertised. He just dropped in. Oh,
he just dropped in?
Yeah, it wasn't... people didn't know they were going to see Louis C.K. that night, which is...
That is such a weird...
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of a tricky thing. Because if they had advertised...
It's kind of a good story if shows up said, hey, I just want to do 10 minutes. Like, I'm not sure we're past the jerking off in front of people thing. Like, oh, no, it's going to be, you know me. Like, okay, I guess.
If it had been advertised, he probably would have been protested.
So in a way, that's telling.
Right.
That's such a weird, again, that's such a weird thing of like, what was that conversation? Was it like, I'm assuming of that there was some club owner who's like, man, he's so big, but he is so tainted. I've known him for a long time. What do I do? Or was it he came in and dollar signs popped up? Or was it he came in and they're like best buds and like, bro, I know even though it had been beyond a shadow of a doubt proven that you were a jerk off guy, I know you, bro. You didn't really do those things that...
Well, I think it was that, because I've actually heard the owner of that club talk about as soon as he's ready to come back, he's welcome to come back here. I mean, that's loyalty, whether you agree with it or don't agree with it. He said that from day one. So I don't know. I think just to be tone deaf about it is weird. Like the first words out of his mouth should have been, I am so sorry. For the last 9 months, I've thought about this and that's all I've been able to think about. And I'm so sorry.
That's cutting into them minutes.
Right. Well, that should have been the first thing. It should have been a sincere apology. And maybe people would have gone, maybe we'll give him a chance. You know what I mean? But just to go up and not really address it until you make a joke about a rape whistle is like, wow.
I don't know.
And I'm all for comics saying whatever you want to say. It's artistic license.
I don't know where the line is currently. Currently, we're in a interesting, I don't know if you would say fortunately unfortunate or unfortunately fortunate time. Where a light is being shown on some really greasy stuff that's been going on for far too long. I don't know the solution to how long is long enough and how much contrition is enough contrition when you've been, his case is something where he should have thought about what a sort of terrible thing he was doing, but seemingly it didn't really occur to him. So I don't know how much is enough for him to have quote unquote suffered. Eight months doesn't seem like much, especially when he came back and made a relatively tone deaf joke.
I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on about comedians getting in trouble for what they're saying. And this wasn't what he was saying. This was actions against another person. And I know there was no criminal charges brought. He didn't do any time. And there are people trying to say, what he did isn't that bad. It's not as bad as what Cosby did, or
well, certainly. But I mean, you know, if I had a hit and run, that's not as bad as Cosby by a large measure.
Right.
I should probably still be punished for that.
But he should at least be able to recognize that people that are upset about it have a reason to be upset about it, and address that right off the bat. And he didn't. He chose not to do that. So maybe it's ego. Maybe it's.
Currently, it seems like the worst thing he's suffering is being embarrassed.
I mean, if you listen to what he talks about, I don't know that he gets embarrassed at a lot. I'm the same way. The stuff I talk about in my act, most people would be like super embarrassed. I mean, I talk about peeing my pants when I was a kid. I talk about having big nipples and being fat, and a lot of people would be embarrassed by that, but it's just what I put out there because I think it's funny.
And it goes back to like a lot of stuff Bert was talking about. It's pretty personal, and
right. I mean, that's what connects with personal stuff connects with people.
I don't know how much of that you take into account. I don't know how much of what he's saying has any truth to it, or if it's something he made up to kind of play a little bit of a character that he's developed.
I think the best comedy has at least some truth, and of course you have to stretch the truth out to make the story work. Everybody's got a funny story, but that doesn't have a punchline at the end of it, so it's a matter of figuring out how to turn that into a joke. I would say, as far as Kevin Spacey goes, if you watch Superman Returns now, the ending is probably a lot more intense when he's trying to get his son back.
Spacey's was
after Kevin Spacey kidnapped
him. And he also had his, like, tried to throw the homosexuality shield over himself. Hope that the fire would pass. No, boy, that only made things worse. Oh, boy. It's a lot of fun talking about bad people in Hollywood.
Yeah,
How about we talk about a couple of good people in Hollywood? All right,
let's hit it.
How about we talk about how Brendan Fraser is coming back a little bit?
I'm a huge Brendan Fraser guy.
Boy, I can't remember the thing that he's on some WB show that apparently did well, but
he's on a WB show?
I think.
I didn't even know that.
I don't want to say anything untrue, but he was on some show that did fairly well. And I wanted to say it was WB related because he has landed a job on the DC Network show Doom Patrol.
Cool. So
he will be playing Robot Man.
Robot
A Man. Character that, from what I understand, is well known as being depressed.
So is Doom Patrol having to do with the Legion of Doom?
You know,
in the DC universe, kind of.
You know, just a short bit that I had, because again, this was something I was just thumbing through stuff shortly before you got here and saw. The way some of what I read was talking about is that they were, you know, it's a misfit team that has kind of a similar tone to the X-Men, which debuted, I think they said something like a month after Doom Patrol.
Huh.
You know, and gets one of those beefs about. So
it's being made now or out now?
I believe it's in production. The thing I saw is that he landed this part as apparently a very depressed robot. The story behind it is like a race car driver crashes and they only can salvage his brain. They put in a robot and he is depressed all the time. Which, you know, current day, little bit of
his stuff name Jerry?
Is, huh?
Jerry was a race car driver.
I heard he drove very fast. Didn't ever win any checkered flags though. But
it never did finish last.
I must stop or I'll do the whole thing. But looking at the roster here. So here's a bit. So they're doing, you know, our favorite Dark Titans that does feature Beast Boy. Now, Beast Boy, at least when I'm looking at the wiki, is a member of Doom Patrol. So I wonder if there's going to be some. Wonder if they're trying to get their sort of, you know, Daredevil-y, Defenders-y kind of thing going, where there's going to be a little bit of crossover.
I hope they're not going to cast the same character with two different people in two different shows. DC does that now. I don't know.
They could do anything, but we got other members. Metamorpho, which looks like something that... You ever seen Metamorpho?
It's
purple, white, and orange.
In the old Justice League cartoon.
Looks like he was some Monster Factory thing you made in the 80s with little plastic sheets.
Uh-huh.
Bumblebee, who I thought was a Transformer.
I did too.
But apparently it is a woman.
Okay.
Mento, that I got... I only know
him as the fresh and full of life.
Yeah. He's, you know, just when things get rough, they're going to throw him in a bottle of Coke and run for it. the aforementioned Robot Man. Crazy Jane, who, she definitely looks crazy. I got nothing on that. Dr. Light, who in this photo is looking fabulous.
Nice.
Striking a pose. And
is it L-I-T-E?
Nope.
Zero calorie?
Nope. No zero calorie, man. He seems to stock and trade in light. And then, so I'm going to have to look into this one further. There is a character on the sheet, or before we get to this last one, excuse me, we have The Elongated Man and Elastigirl. But we want to focus on The Elongated Man.
Who is a character on The Flash currently, by the way?
Yeah, Ralph Dibny is the character's name. Okay.
I wonder if they're taking the actor from The Flash.
I bet that one's not the case.
And build around him.
I don't think they're going to merge these with the WB stuff.
Probably not.
I can't imagine that. So this last one...
It's just weird to have the same character on different shows played by a different person. It's so weird. But that, I mean, I guess they can say it's a different Earth.
Yeah, yeah. We're going to get into a little bit of that later, but I want to focus on this
last character. I was going to get into that later, too.
This last... Oh, maybe we got the same
thing. We're going to bob and weave through the DC universe.
Dueling... This is... Mine is a DC,
really. So. DC. Dueling DC.
A Marvel one. Stop trying to stop me from talking about this,
this is what
fantastic,
I do.
Exciting new character.
I say, hey, look, weeds, and then we go off in them.
What the final character of the Doom Patrol lineup that I saw from this wiki that I hope is in the series, Danny the Street.
Danny the Street?
Danny the Street. I'm just going to read this cold. Danny the Street is a fictional character in the DC universe. This is what I had hoped it was, a living sentient piece of urban geography.
Wow.
Who can magically and seamlessly place himself in any urban landscape at will without any disruption to the surrounding environment, and freely interact with any other sapient being through various forms of visual printing he can generate at will within proximity. Okay. Apparently, I do need to buy a DC universe.
So if they're in a high-speed chase and they see a pothole, Danny Street to the rescue, no flat tires.
The fate of the world rests upon a fire hydrant?
Or he can become a bridge?
My gosh, I gotta see if Danny the Street has been cast.
Danny the Street sounds like a gangster name.
It does.
Like a mobster from the 40s. Yeah, he got shot by Danny the Street.
Boy.
Shot him in the back four times.
You know, I can't find anything right away. I really hope Danny the Street gets in this movie.
I need to explain something about going off into the weeds, Jake. See, when I was in high school, I had a teacher. It was Mrs. C. She was our English teacher, and I would always distract the class. That's just what I did. That's just how I am. And she said, Mr. Tate, I enjoy having you in my class. I really do. You're very funny. You make it fun. But this classroom is a bucket, and I'm trying to fill this bucket with knowledge. And you, Mr. Tate, are a hole at the bottom of the bucket, draining all of that knowledge out into the ground. Being wasted. And it was one of the nicest things a teacher ever said to me.
I really loved doing that bit. I guarantee you, every year, every class, she pulled that one on somebody.
I like to think I was the one and only.
Her Chewbacca bandolero. Someone would start speaking up, and she would just click a button that was the bucket analogy.
I don't know. People started calling me the hole in the bucket for like the rest of the year. And nobody ever said, hey, I was the hole in the bucket last year.
Well, from now on,
it was a good story.
From now on, I want to be you know what? I want to start my campaign here. I would really like to be Danny the Street.
Did you ever have a nickname like Danny the Street or Hole in the Bucket?
You know, most of the nicknames I had over my lifetime were of negatives. When I was young, I got called Nose a lot because...
Nose?
Yeah, I do kind of... I kind of have a big nose if you really look at it, but I don't think about it much anymore.
Not really.
I guess I grew into it to some degree.
It's a Noah Wiley nose.
I got...
Looks like Noah Wiley's nose.
I remember getting called Nose a lot. Working at the warehouse, as a younger man, I butt heads with management a lot, and I got known as Thin Ice for a little while.
Thin Ice?
Yeah.
Man, didn't butt heads with management?
That was due to a specific incident where someone told me I was on thin ice and it was moving fast.
I was always on thin ice there.
Yeah, well.
The stuff we did there...
We got away with so
nothing
much.
Nothing illegal, technically.
No, we've all had good times.
I actually gave myself a nickname when I first moved to Grantsville. I lived in Draper before that.
I hope it's really
And good. I wanted to reinvent myself. It was the first day of sixth grade. And Mr. Camp says, you want to introduce yourself there, Mr. Tate? And I stood up and I said, my friends call me Moose.
It worked out?
I mean, I was Moose for a couple of years till I got tired of it.
There you go.
It kind of morphed into like Mouser because Super Mario Brothers 2 was big at that time, and Mouser was a character in that.
I am intimately familiar with everyone in Super Mario Bros.
It was also the Juicy Fruit, well, not Juicy Fruit, I almost, maybe Starburst, the Juice is Loose commercials. So people would say the Moose is Loose, and that's what morphed into Mouser. And I didn't like that, so that went away. And then in high school, I took a Spanish class, and we had to choose our own names. And I chose the name Tito after Tito Santana, El Matador, the professional wrestler. So then Tito, after about a year, morphed into Tito.
And considering your nipples.
Yeah, I mean, so I was Tito till I... Sometimes I'll go to the store and somebody will call me Moose or Tito or Tito. And I just keep walking like I don't even recognize that they're talking to me. They're like, hey, I'm talking to you. And I was like, oh.
No, you're not. My new name is Danny the Street.
So give yourself a nickname, guys. Pick something good. Danny the Street's all right.
I want to read everything Danny the Street. I want to know who Danny the Street has been shipped with, who he's romancing.
I want him to be played by Danny Trejo.
Again, great casting. Great casting. Have a blast with it.
There's a puddle on the ground.
Would you like to hear some more comics movie news?
Yeah, let's hear it.
The graphic novel
My Boyfriend. These weeds have been pulled, sorry.
The graphic novel My Boyfriend is a Bear is getting a movie adaptation.
My Boyfriend is a Bear.
Boyfriend is a Bear.
Like a gay man? A gay burly man?
The graphic
novel. Or actual
bear. My Boyfriend is a Bear, created by author Pamela Ribbon and illustrator Kat Ferris, is being adapted into a movie. Published earlier by Oni Press, My Boyfriend is a Bear follows a girl named Nora who has terrible taste in men. While on a hike in the hills of Los Angeles, Nora meets a 500-pound American black bear. Now, the thing,
well, that's big that for a black bear.
Who turns out to be the best boyfriend she's ever had. However, between Nora's judgmental friends and family, as well as the bear's need to hibernate during the winter, it remains to be seen if Nora can make the relationship work.
Is he like a Yogi Bear that can, like, talk?
You want to see the bear?
Yeah.
See the bear? Check this guy out.
Is he after picnic baskets?
I think that's a euphemism in this case, but yes, he does appear to be after picnic baskets.
Oh my gosh, this is like full-on, like, creepy bestiality.
She's going to make out with that bear.
All right.
Look, don't judge, okay?
I mean...
It's an anthropomorphic bear. We can't.
Is this the last Timothy Treadwell project before he got mauled by the bear?
Here's the Grizzly Man project.
Yeah.
I hope it doesn't end that way.
It should. If it's real.
My current love affair with I Kill Giants does get brought up in here. So if it shares tonally what I Kill Giants is like, I will say I'm interested in checking this out. I mean, it seems like it's of a silly tone, and I'm up for silly tone.
So she was like super into like Care Bears when she was a kid or something? Or?
This seems like he's wearing a flannel. He's wearing a flannel that says he's a good boyfriend.
I wear flannel.
I mean, are you a good boyfriend?
I haven't been a boyfriend since I was 17, so I don't know.
No, see, that's the problem, Travis. You don't leave that boyfriend treatment behind.
Well, yeah.
You'd be a boyfriend. You'd be a husband.
I'm a really good husband.
You get complacent.
I mean, after a while, everybody gets a little complacent, Travis, right? No matter what you're doing. Your challenge
for the week, we're not going music, we're not going movies. Travis, you go be a boyfriend this week.
I'm
going
to go be a boyfriend?
Go be a boyfriend this week.
To my wife, correct?
You know what? I'm going to leave that up to you, but hopefully you aim that.
I'm not supposed to get a farmersonly.com profile.
Those things creep me out.
My name is Bear.
Farmersonly.com.
I wear flannel and I'm a good boyfriend.
How did that become such a lucrative fell on that one? How did farmersonly.com become such a lucrative prospect?
I think because it's funny. It's got a good gimmick. And then people probably actually went to it and like, well, there's actually people on here. Maybe I'll find a date. I mean, people are always looking for a date, right? But I think it's a funny gimmick. Like if it was clownsonly.com, I bet people would go to it.
I
always liked Black People Meet. Because it sounds way dirtier than it should be.
Are you familiar with Rhett and Link at all?
Yeah, yeah.
Have you ever seen their old commercial for the Red House Furniture?
No.
Between the break, I'll show it to you. But you were mentioning like it was just a funny commercial that stuck. And Rhett and Link one of the things that, that they sort of came up through was this commercial for Red House Furniture, and it makes me really happy every time. Well, people out there, if you've never seen it, look up Rhett and Link Red House
Furniture. Does it make you dating a bear happy?
You know what? Unconfirmed.
If it was a guy dating a bear, it would be a way different comic.
Yeah, well.
People would have a problem with it. I don't think... Has he had shots even?
I think it would be a problem if... it would be a problem if, like, the Thing started dating a grizzly bear, which actually would be a relationship that would have a chance of working out.
Probably.
The Thing is made of stone.
Speaking of rock, are you ready for... Rock talk.
I'm talking rocks with you.
I've noticed we talk about The Rock more than anybody, right?
Well, we've got our ongoing series. I Want the Oliphant.
Yeah, Want the Oliphant is a series we have. I figured we better have rock talk.
What's on the rock docket?
All right. For first of all, we talked about Black Adam. Yeah, and that's actually deep into production. They're pretty much done with the script at this point, so they're gonna start casting everybody but Black Adam, and that's where that's at.
Have they said much? Because, you know, we talked a little bit about that, like Black Adam and Shazam are have relation. Is it a Black Adam standalone? Is it going to be kind of a rolled into a Shazam sequel?
I think it's going to roll in, and they're gonna. I almost sneezed there. Okay, I almost Shazammed. I might change into a little boy. So I think it's going to roll into a movie where they face each other. So that's where that's at.
That's an odd prospect considering that Shazam seems very lighthearted. And
right. Yeah, it'll definitely be cool.
I guess
cool.
I don't know. We'll see what Black Adam is, but The Rock seems...
It seems weird to have a movie just about a villain. So I wonder if Black Adam is going to be... purely bad.
I think Black Adam is one of those ones that goes back and forth a little bit. I actually think that what Black Adam is it's a little close to, like, you familiar with the Marvel character Namor?
Mm-hmm.
He's a hero.
The one that looks like Leonard Nimoy.
He's also kind of he's ocean prick. he's kind of Aquaman if he was just a smug prick all the time.
If Aquaman was a vice principal.
Yeah. He's very territorial about the ocean. He beefs with, I think he's in love with the Invisible Woman. So he beefs with Reed Richards a lot. I think him and T'Challa beef a little bit.
Oh, really?
But they're also kind of buds. He's a member of the Defenders.
Nice.
Got in the weeds on that. I wanted to talk a little bit.
We're still in rock talk, Jake.
Oh, excuse me. Well, this is rock related.
Okay.
All right. Continue your rock talk. I'll talk my rock talk.
All right. Next thing, I read that he's going to do a Big Trouble in Little China remake.
No, that's...
I actually read that it's a sequel.
It's a sequel, so...
Yeah.
That actually, taking the burden off of him to try to recreate the Burton burden. So that he's not trying to pretend to be Jack Burton. And especially if it means we get more Kurt Russell, I'm always up for that.
Oh, yeah, I think that'll be cool.
So
pass the torch.
That makes that project more palatable.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
That it's a little bit of a...
Which is what... I mean, I loved the new Ghostbusters. I did. I loved it. I actually liked it better than the original.
I didn't mind.
But...
I was fine with it.
They should have had the original Ghostbusters pass the torch to the new Ghostbusters, my opinion.
I can only assume them being in the movie was basically that.
I know, but...
My only problem with new Ghostbusters is it just kind of ran out of steam. Somewhere toward... It went on a little too long, I think.
Hmm. I thought it was good. I liked the ending of it.
At the end, when the actual ghost started showing... Like, the character that was the big bad in that movie didn't really establish himself very well as a bad guy. This is a movie that I watched, like, a long time ago at this point.
But in a way, they kind of made him sympathetic. Is that what you're getting at, maybe? Because you kind of felt bad for him because he was marginalized in society.
Mm.
So he decided to become a ghost person.
I don't know. It's been a while since I watched it. My memory of it was, I'm having a pretty good time with this. And then somewhere when the actual ghost started happening, it's like, well, this is a more of an effects piece. And, you know, the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man was impressive at the time. in a way that the special effects in new Ghostbusters is kind of like, well, I mean, this is what we do with effects now.
Well, I was glad they had the Stay Puft Man in it, even though it was just a balloon.
Yeah.
So that was cool. Are you ready for round three of Rock Talk?
Consider it Rocktober.
The Rock will be playing in a Robert Zemeckis film, King Kamehameha of Hawaii. He was the first king of the current or modernized Hawaiian colony.
Seems like a perfectly proper role for him.
From the late, I think it was like 1795 to 1816, if I read right.
My Kamehameha knowledge comes from Dragon Ball Z.
So he's also known as Kamehameha the Great.
I'll be interested to see what that, I mean, Robert Zemeckis, does it say anything about what the,
I don't know,
is, but it going to be like, is this going, is this supposed to be kind of like a biography of sorts?
That would be my assumption.
Is this more legendary stuff where it's supposed to be kind of an adventure film? Just don't know yet.
I don't know, but it would be cool if it started out and they were teaching kids about Kamehameha and they kind of went into the lore, like lore that had been passed down from generation to generation and grown and grown. So it was almost like a Hercules like, type of
kind of like his situation. Character in Moana.
Yeah, a little bit. That would be cool. Yeah, or it can just be a biography. Either way, I'm all up for learning.
Lord knows Rock is gonna soak up roles year by year.
So. One thing's for sure: The Rock is gonna have abs.
Yeah. He is a muscly gentleman.
He's got muscles on muscles.
Mm-hmm. Getting back to my Rock Talk.
Let's hear it.
I wanted to talk some more about the Fantastic Four.
Okay.
This is a property that keeps coming back and coming back. And I think, again, they're, you know, with Disney acquisition, finally Disney gets a chance.
Right.
They want to roll them into the cinematic universe. Because we never talked about the little theory. I don't think we ever talked about that little theory that I heard about for the closing up of the Infinity War stuff, right? It was just
I don't know.
Someone had mentioned offhand that they think that what's going to happen is that everybody who got sacrificed at the end of Infinity War, like spoilers, if you somehow don't know about that, like you don't deserve a
yeah, it's out. At this it's point. Out on Blu-ray now.
It's everywhere.
You should have seen it.
Everybody who's been sacrificed is like in the Soul Stone because they don't, from what I'd heard, they don't really go into what the quote unquote power of the Soul Stone is. It's just something that's necessary, and he had to sacrifice a character. We're not going to talk about who it is, yeah. I guess, but then a bunch of the characters all just dusted at the end of the movie,
right?
And notably non-dusted are.
I don't feel so good, Mr. Stark.
Notably non-dusted are all the original Avengers,
which is the premise for my Comic-Con panel.
Who are all? And maybe you can tell me if this is going to come up in the panel. Is all the most of the people who didn't get dusted are the people who have been kind of hemming, a little bit vocal about, we'd really rather be done with this.
Yeah.
So what if at the end of that movie, Robert Downey Jr., Chris Evans, probably not Chris Hemsworth?
Because he seems to be having fun doing it. I think
Thor is kind of taking off more now. But
I do too. It's definitely found a voice.
These original Avengers.
With Ragnarok.
Who knows, maybe Hulk, maybe they all sacrifice themselves at the end of it to bring back the new characters. And then we start building Avengers movies based on that roster and start introducing new characters that might usurp them later down the road.
I mean, that makes perfect sense to me because you've got two Captain Americas waiting in the wings that have been Captain America in the comics once they bring them back, of course.
Falcon. And
so you got Falcon or Bucky. Either one of them.
Yeah.
And
Bucky wasn't Cap for very long. His run didn't work because that was, you know, that was when they brought him back as Winter Soldier, and that was shortly after right. Cap was dead for a little while after Civil War. I think that'd
be a good redemption story for the character from those movies, though.
Maybe.
Or Falcon. Either way.
I think I'd like to see him go the way of the Falcon one. I think the stuff they've been doing with Bucky and Wakanda has been some good redemptive stuff. And if anything, I would like to see Bucky and Rocket get together for adventures. I think
that could be fun.
Their stuff in Infinity War was some of the better stuff.
Yeah. I think I can't remember the name of the character, but Black Panther's little sister. There's been rumors that she could be...
Is it Suri?
That sounds right.
I think that was the name.
There's rumors that she could be Iron Man.
Well, they're going to do their
because she's Williams, a genius.
The Riri Williams kind of thing that they've done with that Iron Man.
But she's super likable. That actress, who doesn't watch that movie and just fall in love with her?
Kind of everybody in Black Panther was really likable.
I know, but she was probably like even head and shoulders above likable. She was like, you want to see in a movie house, just with her in it.
In our house, Okoye is queen.
She was busting
but I'm not gonna,
her brother's
I'm not
balls. I mean, that was funny.
She did do the what are those joke, which was incredibly dated when the movie was released. So I don't know about that.
But I think that would be cool because Iron Man has to be the smartest person. And who's smarter than her in the universe?
If Tony Stark's gone. If they roll Fantastic Four in, you got Reed Richards coming in.
You know what I was thinking as you brought up Fantastic Four?
We will go from the Infinity Stone rock talk to the Fantastic Four rock talk.
What if
Fantastic Four is just... they're being brought back into the Marvel Comics universe after being gone for quite a while.
Yeah, because they took him out after Fox was messing around with them.
I don't know how much truth there is to that. I read some heat about like supposedly Marvel's like, man, you guys are running this into the ground. We're going to take them out of the equation. Like the way that they wrote Reed and Sue and the kids. They mm-hmm. have two kids. I don't know how much you knew about that.
Very little.
But there's a lot of history. But they went away after the Secret War stuff, after Doom was God for a while. Reed came back. That was the Marvel's whole, like, bringing the quote-unquote 616 universe to a close. That's a whole weird thing. We don't need to get into that. But Reed left in a really interesting way at the end of that, and now they're supposedly coming back. They had this nice cover. Reed with a beard. Silver in his beard. And it's going to surprise you to find out. I got respect for a man with silver in his beard. But him looking really good and Sue looking really good. So the Thing and the Human Torch stayed around and had various adventures.
Mm-hmm.
So, rock talk. I can't get with a Thing that has a human face, which is something they keep doing. They kind of have to keep doing for the movies. But in this one, the cover looks really great, but this Thing that's screaming, but he's got that kind of like, the lips are definitely there and the nose is really pronounced. I like a good brick face Thing.
I thought the Thing in the movies was good.
The most recent
one. The Michael Chiklis one.
The most recent one was the one where he was wearing no pants, and that freaks me out.
Yeah, that wasn't so good. Even the Roger Corman one, it was closer to the actual comic book.
I want Brickface Thing. And also the Johnny Storm. So the original one just looks like a fire with the vague shape of a guy in it.
Right.
I like the corny mid-range one where he's got the lines. Like he looks like a cooked meat of some sort.
Tell me what you think of this idea.
Oh.
Instead of bringing it back as a movie right off the bat, bring it back as its own show, a TV show, a Netflix original. And then if it works, branch it off into movies.
They're still on the
fence. Retell the story under your own terms.
They're still on the fence currently, I think, about whether or not those shows are part of... I mean, I guess if you want to try and meld it into... Like, the Netflix stuff, they seem still on the fence about whether or not that stuff folds into the cinematic universe.
I mean, they reference the cinematic universe in the Netflix shows.
We talk about they reference it in a very kind of off-brand, like, Western Family way of... No one in it has ever referred to any of those actual characters. They will refer to them by names of, like, Hammer Guy or the Green Monster or Metal Guy.
Right. Well, consider this. They've got the Disney streaming platform coming out.
Gross.
Starting next year.
I don't want to think about that.
They could do a Fantastic Four show right on there.
I would say they'd be more likely to do an animated one than anything if they did.
They have done an animated one. It was decent. I didn't dislike it at all. They had the Hulk on it a couple times. It was cool.
I've heard little rumors of Dr. Doom is somewhat of a part-time foil for Black Panther. So I heard a little bit of rumble of people saying, like, ooh, what if Doom was actually... What if before the Fantastic Four make the scene, Doom is introduced in Black Panther and you get some backstory and then the Fantastic Four movie happens and you don't have to do a big backstory on that character?
When I was a kid and I owned the Secret Wars toys, did you ever have those?
No.
Like mid-80s?
No, I don't think I had any of that stuff.
Okay. Dr. Doom was always my Darth Vader in the Marvel Universe.
I like Dr. Doom a lot.
Yeah, I'm up for Dr. Doom being introduced even more than the Fantastic Four.
I've been burned by Dr. Dooms.
Not by Johnny Storm?
No. No.
Human Torch burned.
We talked about it. Johnny Storm is the Phoenix rising from the ashes for other people who work in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. But no, like the two Dooms in the two movies were pretty bad.
Watch the Roger Corman. That was the most true Doom of all of them.
I need like a Jeremy Irons Doom. I need scenery chewing, refers to themselves in the third person, just dripping with just oozing, condescending of everyone.
We're about to wrap this up.
But please don't get a young guy. Get someone who has gravitas.
Let's close this out by choosing. We're casting Dr. Doom. That's how we're going to close this episode.
We're making room for Doom. Our
first thing that
series.
Came to my mind was Michael Fassbender, but he was Magneto. Do we want him to be a metal guy again?
He really hits hard as the person who has the right gravitas.
What else could... I mean, I'm thinking like a tall, dark-haired dude. Timothy Oliphant. Maybe not the dramatic weight.
You know, the thing is...
He's more likable.
Even though... So he... from the fictional country of Latveria, I still feel like he needs a British accent.
Yeah.
German's not going to do it, which I guess Latveria or, some sort of Eastern European accent. Just the British accent feels like it goes.
How about Nick Frost?
I wouldn't get mad at that. You know what? Let's get Steve Coogan on the line. I'm sure he can do a Dr. Doom.
I bet he could. So Steve Coogan's not a bad choice.
So, I want to see Doom rise again, and I want it to be good this time. The one in that recent movie is so uninteresting.
Yeah, I mean that whole movie was like, bleh.
Oof-a-ma-goof. That movie has some kind of cool body horror stuff in it, but it just goes away and is useless so fast. I mean,
when you can't make Michael B. Jordan be interesting, it's not a good movie.
Sigh. So we're looking to wrap up this episode 18. Yep. You got anything else you feel like laying on the people?
Just listen to the podcast. Keep listening. Go back and listen to the old ones if you haven't.
Please do rate and review. Subscribe. We love all that stuff.
Yeah, please subscribe. Tell your friends about it.
We've got a Facebook page. Please join. I'd always like to be better at this, and I can only be as good as I am right now. So if there's stuff I can hit, I love feedback.
You can friend me on Facebook or follow me on Instagram, Travis Tate Funny, or Twitter, Travis Tate Funny. I don't know what you want to do as far as people following you on things, but
I wouldn't say I've got a real big social media presence these days.
And that's okay.
Not going to get much out of following me, but I guess if you want,
We've got a Facebook page. You can follow that too. The Late to the Party with Travis Tate Facebook page. Tell your friends about it. Let's just have some fun. Let's grow a community.
Yeah. Let's be friends. Let's be one of the things on the internet that's not harmful.
Right.
Please. So
most weekends you can find me at Wise Guys. So if you follow me on any of those social media things, you'll know what shows I'm doing. But I'm usually at one of them, either Ogden, downtown Salt Lake, or
check him out. He's a fun
West
dude.
Jordan.
You can just find me. I'm out there doing the hard work for the people. So for the non-threatening Late to the Party with Travis Tate, I'm Jake.
Sure.
And
I'm Travis Tate. And guess what, guys? Better Tate than never.